We started last week on baptism, and we talked about, remember how we talked about baptism last week? It wasn't by sprinkling, it was by immersion. How many remember that? And today I want you to use this paper right here. I want you to use this paper right here. And let me say this to you. What I'm going to teach you, I'm going to give you a Bible verses for everything I'm going to teach you. A lot of people, when they see this, they'll say, wow, I've never had no one teach me these things or tell me this. Well, just because no one's ever told you, it doesn't mean it's not true. And it's not true because I'm saying it. The only reason it's true because it's in the scriptures. Amen. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. And so, look at your paper right there. And this might come to a shock to some of you because you've been taught by the traditions of men. And many times you've not been taught by the scripture. And so sometimes people don't know how to get a hold of this. But I'm going to give you truth and hope you can open your heart and receive it. Notice, look at your paper here. How many got your paper? Okay, look at number one. Baptism by immersion publicly identifies us with being a believer in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And look up here, folks. Remember, last week we studied this. Acts 2:41 says those that gladly received Christ, gladly received Him, received His word, were baptized the same day. In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, the eunuch said to Philip, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I believe on the Lord. And so because that man trusted Christ, he was baptized. So baptism always follows when people believe in Christ. If they get baptized before they believed on Christ, it's void. It's of none effect. Look at number two. Believers' baptism is always by immersion in water, not sprinkled. I showed you in Matthew, the reason I'm not turning, we did these last Sunday. What I'm doing, teachers, is I'm reviewing. And repetition is the greatest teacher. I used to learn more when Dr. Brooke would review from the week before he would reveal next week. I'd learn more on the repetition than I would the first way through. But notice, when Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3, 13 through 16, him and John both went into the water. They didn't get. He wasn't sprinkled. He was immersed. He came up out of the water. In John chapter 3, verse 22, 23, John the Baptist baptized where there was much water. And if you need to sprinkle, why would you need a lot of water? No, you needed much water because you had immersion. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35 to 38, both went down into the water. That sure eliminates sprinkling, doesn't it? And then in baptism, Romans 6:4, we are buried in the likeness of Jesus' death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Sprinkling does not show forth this truth. You know, and I like, Brother Mark said something I really like, and we'll get down to it later in the baptism modes. Some people baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three times. But Jesus only got baptized once. And do you die three times? Why would you be baptized three times? That was a good thing Brother Mark mentioned. You don't die three times. So you're only going to go in the grave once. Once and resurrected. Amen? And so, then number three, baptism must be administered by the proper authority. And Jesus gave to his church two ordinances. There's two ordinances that God gave to his church. He gave, number one, believers, when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, believers' baptism, and number two, the Lord's Supper. And I personally believe, this is my heart, I'm not dogmatic on it, but I believe I'm right. And you can disagree, but when we get to heaven, the Lord will tell you I was right. And I really, in my heart, I don't believe anybody should take the Lord's Supper until they get baptized. Because if you're not obedient in the first ordinance, then I don't know why you'd want to take the second one. So the two ordinances to the church, believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Tell me the two ordinance class. Amen. By the way, this class is growing good. Brother Carl, who's the other one's going to help you? Mike and Carl is going to start watching over our class, taking role. And if you're absent, they might give you a call. I appreciate you men doing that. That's good. They're going to be like captains. They're going to be captains in our adult class. Amen. Split it up, fellas, okay? All right, but I'm glad you're doing that. That's important. Sometimes a phone call means a lot. So notice then... Look, he gave the ordinance to baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now watch. Only Jesus' church has authority to perform these two ordinances. Notice what the Bible says about his church authority. Now, stay with me. Look at Matthew. I'm going to show you some truth here. Matthew chapter 16. Now, some of you have heard me teach this, so this isn't new to you, but some have never heard this. Look at Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse 16 through 18. Well, let's pick up at verse 13. Matthew 16, look at verse 13 right on down to 18, okay? How many got Matthew? Matthew chapter 16, you got the scripture? Okay, I'm in verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? What do you think I am?" And he said, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," remember Elijah? "And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" I don't care what they say. I don't care what other people think. What do you think about me? Are you with me? And Simon Peter, he was always quick, wasn't he? He's the first guy to say, flap his mouth, first guy to pull out the sword, cut the guy's ear off. Simon Peter was a take charge guy. I know he was a fisherman. He was a rough fisherman. I bet he came off of North Toledo in Galilee. Amen. I wouldn't have wanted to mess with Simon Peter. I think he was a bad stick. I think he was a quick-tempered fisherman. Amen? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who can say amen to that? Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Only God can reveal Christ to you. By the way, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, we're not better than anybody else. We're just blessed because God revealed it. We saw the light. They sing the song, "I saw the light, I saw the light. Send the light. There's a call come ringing from the shore. Send the light, the gospel light." But I'm going to tell you something. It's only when people see the light of Christ, that they're set free. If you've seen the light of Christ, you ought to just praise God because that's a privilege to be saved. By the way, all people can be saved, but all people will not be saved because they walk in darkness instead of light. But notice, he said, "Flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now watch what Jesus says here. He made that verse 17. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." How many see that? I circle that. "And I will," in the gate, I circled that. My church. Jesus has got a church. My church. Jesus said, these are my words. Jesus said, "I'm building my church." Does Jesus have a church? Did he say he had a church? Okay. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There's no way to stop it. No one, because Jesus can't be defeated. He's the overcomer. Amen. Now I want you to look at your paper with me. Jesus established the local church while he was on earth. The church did not start at Pentecost. It was empowered on Pentecost. Jesus established the local church in his three-year ministry walking on the earth. By the way, it already had a treasure, because Judas was a treasure. When you see the day of Pentecost, there was already 120, when you look at Acts chapter 1, there was already 120 members of that church. They had 120 members of that church before the day of Pentecost. Hello? Now watch. Note, my church. The question is, and the reason I put these questions, Brother Bobby, I want people to reason, and I want them to think with their mind. By the way, Brother Billy, I want you to get one of these for your son, Brother the Preacher Billy, because I gave him one of these, but he don't have this paper, and I want him to have it. Matter of fact, all the preachers, I'm going to send them a copy of this. Notice, what church did Jesus build? Because everyone says, well, all the churches are the same. No, they're not the same. Amen. Notice the question, what is a church? What was it a church? The church that Jesus built, was it a church that believes you can lose your salvation? It's not. Jesus said you have everlasting life. He said these things are written that you might know, 1 John 5:13. How many are with me? So, if there's a church that teaches you can lose your salvation, is that Christ's church? It's not. It's not. It's not. Now, I know people, I don't like to hear that. Boy, preacher, you're controversial. I'm controversial, but I'm biblical, buddy. Was it a church that Jesus built that believes you must speak in tongues to get to heaven? No, because Jesus said the tongues, those at the day of Pentecost, see, they all heard in their own language. And by the way, tongues were for a sign to the Jew. The 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, I don't have it on your paper, but as I didn't plan on doing this. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, the Jew requires a sign. And the Greek, the West Virginia folks, they seek after wisdom. The Gentiles. Gentile people, if you're not Jew, you're a Gentile. And we go to all the big colleges and everything, learn how to be how God didn't create. How there's no God. We're so smart. Right? We get all these professors that teach these people that there was a big bang, and then there was a little spore, and then it grew and swam in the water, and then it grew a tail, and then it grew arms, and then it walked up on shore, then it grew some legs, climbed up a tree, became a monkey, and then the next thing he was teaching Kent State University as a professor. That's what they teach. I like the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And was Jesus' church one that can lose their salvation? Would he start a church that said you have to speak in tongues to get to heaven? By the way, that's a work, by the way. And the next question, was it a church that believes you must work to get to heaven? If you believe you got to work to get to heaven, you ain't going to heaven. You know, I didn't have this plan, but just for the fun of it, look at Romans chapter 11. I love that book of Romans. Five major doctrines taught in the book of Romans. Romans 11, verse 6. Romans 11, 6, and if by grace, by the way, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Not of works, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, lest any man boast. Well, I deserve to go. I did this and I did that. No, every one of us deserve to go to hell. None of us deserve to go to heaven. It's only by God's wonderful grace that we go. Notice what it says in Romans 6, 11, 6. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If you add works to grace, then it's not grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And so God said here, it's either all works and no grace, or all grace and no works. You can't mingle both of them. Well, I wish those people that teach that you have to work your way to heaven, I wish they'd read the scriptures. So any church that teaches you have to work your way to heaven, would that be Jesus' church? No, it wouldn't. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading the scriptures. But I'm making you think. Was it a church that believed baptism is part of your salvation? Would Jesus have a, would his church be the one that teaches you have to have salvation? There's some churches that teach, we're going to baptize today. Brother Brent's got 3 or 4 kids lined up. They show up. We're going to baptize today. And by the way, I turned the heat around last night. That water will be warm. David's here, so he gets to baptize today. But there are actually churches that actually teach that when you get baptized, it washes your sins away. That's horrible. That's blasphemy. Well, if pure water can take that, then what was the shed blood of Christ for? You know? The Bible says we're redeemed by the shedding of God's blood. Look at is it Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:7. I don't have this written down, but let me see here. Look at Ephesians 1:7. What's that say? In whom we have redemption to is what?
Blood.
Is that water? Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption to his blood. I should have put scripture behind every one of these. In whom we have redemption to his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What washes away our sins? His holy blood. Amen. But they're actually churches, Brother Mark, that teach you got to get in that water to get your sins washed away. I'm going to tell you right now, no water. They say, well, that's holy water. I'm going to tell you something. All water is holy. When you need it to drink to keep you alive, it's all holy. Amen? But no water, that was a joke. No water saves anybody. Never did and never will. There's no saving power in the baptistry. There's no saving power in speaking tongues. There's no saving power in being a good person, doing good works. What else did I put in there? There's no saving power for those who believe they can lose their salvation. Look at the next one I've got here. Was it a church that says it doesn't matter what you believe? We're all believe what you want. The one world church doesn't matter what you believe. Let's just all bring all the churches together. There's one God. We all believe. No, they're not all the same. They're not all. Hey, Josie, did you get one of these Bible lessons? I mean, the one I did today, the new one that I made. I want you to have that. Don't throw that away. You need that for your father. And one of our preacher boys, and I want him to get everything he can because I don't know if he's ever. So, what I'm trying to say to you, do cults, would Jesus start a cult that, like Jehovah, see, Jehovah's Witness is not a church, it's a cult. Because any religion that denies, Brother Phil, any religion that denies the deity of Jesus Christ is a cult.
That's right.
Would he start the Jehovah's Witness?
No,
because it denies his deity. The deity means he was God incarnate. He was God manifested. Are you with me? To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling us unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19, I believe that is. How many are with me? And so, stay with me. So, now look at the next. By the way, boy, if you agreed to all those things I just said, we just eliminated a whole lot of churches. Every time you all said, So far, you've all agreed with me. You're going to get mad at me pretty soon, but so far, you've agreed with me because you know I'm telling you the truth. Now, look at the next thing. I had Rosie put this in bold. Look at that bold letters. No church can get anyone into heaven, not even the Baptist church. No church, I believe Jesus started the Baptist church, But you don't get to heaven by the Baptist church. You get to heaven by believing in the founder of the church, Jesus Christ. Brother Dale, I don't hold up the Baptist. I hold up the Savior of the Baptist. Amen? But Jesus is the founder of our church. No church can get anyone into heaven, but it does matter what church you go to, because people need Bible truth to set them free. And John 8:32 says, then you shall know the truth, and you shall, it'll make you free. Look at John 8:32. And I'm trying to give you truth from the scriptures now. John 8:32. And we shall know the truth. Who was it? Who said he was the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you shall know the truth. By the way, his word is truth, the Bible says. John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The King James Bible. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Yeah, make you free. You're right. The truth will make you free, because truth sets people free, makes you free. I love, there's a song years ago, the Tony Brothers. Did you know the Tony Brothers? What a great, they used to sing a song called Freedom. Freedom, freedom, it's yours for the asking. Boy, that was a great group. I don't even know if they're singing anymore, but they're good people. Mom and Daddy and all the kids, the Tony Brothers. Did you know when Ronnie Booth sang? Did you know when Ronnie Booth was the greatest tenor I ever heard in my life? But anyways, I get off that. But I think of some of their songs that they sang, and one of them was Freedom. And you want to get set free? Get in the Bible. And that's why we're taking a study of the scriptures. Listen, let God be true and every man a liar. Don't believe it because I say it. Do not believe this because I say it. Just take what the Bible says. But when the Bible says it, believe it. Amen? Okay. Now notice, the Apostle Paul warned of false teachers of the gospel. See, when you mix anything, when you take away from the grace of God, look at Galatians chapter 1. When you take away from the grace of God, the gift of God, the free gift, You're messing with the gospel. Those that say you have to work, those that say you got to get baptized, those that say you got to pray through, speak in tongues, handle poisonous snakes, and all kinds of other things. Those that chew and those that don't do. I'm going to tell you right now, those people they're diverting the gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says to the Galatians, I marvel you're soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, I can't believe it. Paul says, I can't believe it. You trusted Christ as your Savior. You started out by grace, and now you're trying to get it over the works, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, that we would have priests on you, let them be accursed. Oh, you think I'm rough. Paul says if they preach another gospel, Bobby, let them be damned. Accursed, that's what it means. Hello? I'm almost a powder puff when it comes to Paul. Hello? And as we said before, I say now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He says it two times. Number of witness. So what I'm saying is, look up here. You got to get this. I'm trying to lay a foundation. Those other churches are not true churches. Because they pervert the gospel. If you tell me a man has to get in that water to get his sins washed away, that's perverting the gospel. If you tell me a man has to work and wait his heaven, that's perverting the gospel. If you tell me he has to speak in tongues, that's perverting the gospel. If you tell me a man that you can that a man has to work and hold on to his and keep trying to stay. Here's one. And I, by the way, I believe this. I believe we all live holy lives. But my holiness is not going to save me. It was the holiness of Christ that saved me. He died. He had no sin. Now, here's the only thing we need, Brother Carl. The Bible says, as he is holy that called you, be ye holy. Christians ought to be separated. We ought to walk separated and have holy walks for God. But I'm not counting on my walk with God to get me to heaven. Because sometimes I fall. Sometimes I make mistakes. And by the way, so do you. I'm far from being perfect. And some of you, if you admit it, you aren't either. We're all got imperfections. But praise God, Brother Coolidge, our Savior, who's the founder of our church, he has no imperfections. He's holy. And he can keep me from falling. He keeps me. And but there's some people that says you got to keep your salvation. I'm not keeping my salvation. I'm kept by the power of God. If I was kept by the power of Rich Skyver, man, I'd have lost a long time ago, Roddy. Matter of fact, I'd have lost it about 1,000 times. I probably would have lost it 40 times already this year. Now, how many days have we had this year so far? How many months is there? January, February, March, April, 4th. That's 120 days. I probably lost 100 days already in this 2008. Because I fell short every day. Amen? What I'm trying to show you is this. The church, whatever church Jesus started, it's got to line up with the doctrine of the Bible. Now, don't get mad at me. But whatever, he said, my church. I know, just hold on. We're not going. My church. Say this with me. My church. Jesus started a church. Now, stay with me. And that church has been there for 2,000 years. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So whatever church he started, and we just eliminated a whole bunch of them. If I haven't got you mad yet, I'll probably do it now. And I'm not trying to. But would Jesus have a church that would pray to Mary? No. Matter of fact, Mary, I'm going to preach today. Mary, and tonight I'm going to be preaching on the Gospel of John this morning and tonight. I'll be preaching about the Mary. Right, the marriage supper over there in Cana, John chapter 2. And Mary said, told them, do what he tells you. That's right. Mary pointed people to Jesus. Jesus never pointed people to Mary.
That's right.
Are you with me? Mary lifted up Jesus. Jesus never lifted up Mary. Right. Because Mary has no saving power. It's all Christ. And I thank God for the Virgin Mother, the birth of Christ, and thank Mary was a phenomenal lady. I can't wait to meet her because I thank God for the mother of our Lord. But the mother of our Lord still had to get saved just like you and I. Matter of fact, I can show you in Luke. I won't do it today, but you can see in Luke chapter 1 around verse 47, 46, it says, my Lord, I just magnify my Lord. She believed on Christ too, just like you and I did. So would Jesus have that? Would Jesus be in that kind of a church? I'm not trying to get anybody mad. I'm just trying to show you scripture. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Look up here. Oh, there's a scripture, and I want to give to you in just a minute. Where is it? I'll come with it later. It says, beware of those, the false teachings and the false traditions of man. I think it's Philippians 1:8. I think it's, is it Philippians 1:8? Maybe I even got it on your paper. I don't know. But I'll come back to it. The bell rang, didn't it? Okay. Is that the first or second? Second, Gary? Okay. Maybe it's Thessalonians. says beware of false teachers and false traditions. You know, look up here, and I'll close, and we'll come back this next week. Yeah, by the way, we'll get this next week, because you don't even have half the stuff. After Rosie typed this, I thought of more stuff. So, here's the thing. Don't get high-minded that you're saved. And by the way, don't get high-minded that you're in a fundamental church. You know what? And I'll say it. I thank God. Mrs. Cochran, I thank God that when I was a young boy, I was taken to a church. Rosie's dad took me to Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. I'm glad he took me to a fundamental Baptist church as a young man, and I got to hear truth from the Bible, and they used the King James Bible. I wasn't saved. I was fortunate, Grandma. I got to go to a fundamental church. And Bobby, because of that, God gave me great fundamental preachers, and I was blessed. I was blessed because not only people are blessed to have the great truth given to them right away. And by the way, I'll say this, and I will let you go. Don't walk out high-minded. Well, we're better than no, we're not better than anybody else. And by the way, there's people saved in all churches. I'm not saying that you have to be a Baptist to be. There's people saved in all churches if they believe on Christ. The church doesn't save. There's a lot of good people that are saved in different churches. They just never had all the full doctrine taught to them. Are you with me? But I'm going to show you. Jesus started a church, and he started a Baptist church. And I'm going to prove it to you next week. Don't lose your papers. Bring your papers back. I'm going to show you scripture. And I'm going to show you some things, what God did with a man called John the Baptist. Not the baptizer. Did you know the phrase John the Baptist? Boy, I hate that stinking. I wish I could have went another half hour. John the Baptist is recorded 15 times in the New Testament. John the Baptist. The Baptist. He was a Baptist. He baptized Jesus. Jesus is the founder of the Baptist Church. I'm proud to be part of it. John got his authority from heaven. He got his name from heaven. Well, okay, I'll show you. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by the right authority. We'll go over it next week. I'll show you scripture. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Baptist. But I'm not big-headed either, because I'm just blessed that God put me in a church that taught me truth. Amen. And a lot of people have never had that privilege. So instead of being high-minded, we ought to say, dear God, thank you for bringing me to a church that taught me truth. Amen? Help me to help someone else that's never had the truth. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had in the scripture. Lord, help people to study and read. Don't take my word for it. Let the Bible speak to them. Let the Bible say, Holy Spirit, people are so taught of tradition of man that when you start teaching something that's really in the scripture, because of all the traditions of man down to false teaching down through the years, they have a hard time understanding this truth. And the Holy Spirit, I pray you'll bring truth to people and that they'll understand the truth from God's word and about the church that Christ started. Help me to teach it well. Help me to say everything that you'd want me to say. And Father, help me never to say anything that you would not want me to say. And I'll just praise you for all your goodness and grace. And we love you, Father. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the church that you gave us. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we'll break for 5 minutes.